Welcome to the Gatecast.
We're off to see the wizard.
Presented by Alan and Mike.
Lucy, I'm home.
I was going to do my living room like this.
I am not Lucy.
Well, sir, my recommendation is that anyone attempting to leave the mountain should be shot on sight.
Anyway, I ate breakfast at about 2:15, so I wasn't really hungry enough for dinner. So by the time if we don't get on with this soon, my stomach's going to start growling and interrupting the proceedings.
Right.
Hello, good evening, greetings, and welcome to episode 16 of season 2, The Fifth Race. And I believe, if my brain isn't completely fried, our 37th episode overall.
Good evening, everybody.
Not counting specials and state-offs and things.
37? No, it's about 33, I think. Maybe even 32. But, of course, I'm getting mixed up again with what's published and what's been recorded, because we are 3 or 4 episodes in advance.
Well, that was my point. This is the 37th episode we've commented on.
Ah. Got to be very clear with me.
What? Which one of us is Asperger's? You're telling me to be clear with you. That's got to be a first. Leave that in.
Will do.
I don't think anyone's ever told me to be more clear or precise. Often the opposite. Many, repeatedly times, the opposite. But never actually more clear or more precise. Okay, I'm going to click play shortly if you're good to go.
Yes, we are. Yes, I am.
Because I'm on 0 seconds. Apparently, the line's roar took up not time.
Well, that's not bad. My line took all 3 seconds before it started roaring.
Are you a fan of science fiction and fantasy? Do you enjoy genre television and comic books? Then you should be listening to the Sci-Fi Dig podcast found at scifidig.com, where every week I discuss an episode of genre television. Sci-Fi Dig, it's not just a podcast, it's a community. scifidig.com.
Before we begin, Fifth Race is one of my favourite episodes of the entire series.
Really?
It is. I really enjoy this episode. I enjoy its position in the series, being a major arc episode. Plus, I just love the episode by itself.
I see. Well, we'll discuss the directed and written by during the credit sequence, as usual. God, we're getting habits. What can I say? I enjoy structure and I like being in my rut. I have a groove, Homer Simpson style, in my leather couch.
Yeah, you sit down anywhere on the couch and you automatically slide right into the predetermined position.
It's up again the left-hand side because the TV's left of the chimney breast, so I tend to be pointing in that direction.
There's a million lounges exactly the same. Remote control on one side, a footstool on the other, and the man's arse print on the chair.
Well, not quite, because if I owned the house, I would hang the TV on the chimney breast since I never actually liked the fire.
Oh.
And I'd have the speakers more centred. But, yes, Fifth Race. I'm hitting play in 3, 2, 1. Line pauses briefly while the disc spins back up, which is not an issue you have.
When we found Ernest Littlefield on PB2908, we also discovered a repository of information.
Meaning of life sort of stuff.
Oh, we got straight into Daniel nattering away.
Yep, some funky writing.
Yes, the 4 distinct alien languages.
4 races.
We all reread the mission reports, Dr. Jackson.
That's it, General. You tell him. Even the viewers don't need reminding.
From P3R272. Now, if you look closely, you'll see that the symbols match one of the inscriptions from the meeting place on Ernest's planet.
So the first the first instance of this language being found on another world. And nobody seems impressed. Say something, guys.
So you realize what this means?
No.
You know what the circle of symbols says?
No, I don't even know what it sounds like. But based on the Norse rune at the bottom of this inscription, I'm positive that one of the 4 races in the Alliance is Thor's race, the Asgard. Obviously, that would make the aliens that belong to this language their ally.
I think Daniel expected people to pick up on that a little bit quicker.
I do believe this world is worth exploring, Daniel Jackson.
Yes. Well, certainly, Sam. Oh, finally, a safe hole. and it's dark. Why is it always underground and dark with these things?
Again, it always looks good. And you don't have to dress the set so much.
Well, that's true.
Where's the life support coming from?
Soundstage. Quite possibly the soundstage that they used for the fake gate.
Walls are solid.
Yes, Jack. Thump the walls.
Ow, ow. That bit of the wall solid anyway.
That's a ring receiver, isn't it?
Well, it's some like a ring sort receiver of circle in the ground. You wouldn't ignore it. I mean, Daniel's filming it.
Well, this was an intergalactic waste of time.
Well, wait a minute, sir. Where's the power for the lights coming from? What's the point of this place?
Hello? Hello? I'm Daniel Jackson. We're peaceful explorers from the planet Earth.
Daniel?
Just in case.
Look, for God's sake, it's a big circle. Just stand in it.
It must be significant. There's only things in the room. A DHD, a gate, a circle.
Well, we can't just give up. Why not?
Well, no, the wall itself, actually. Oh. He walked across the circle.
Yeah.
Let's go home. Okay, that's something.
Oh, I got this confused with the other one. Do you remember the other time he did this? I had images in my head of the thing being on the wall.
Oh, I'm going.
Watch yourself there, Teal.
Now, I'm assuming it's not going to react to Teal'c because he's not fully human.
That's right.
What do you see?
Blackness. Filled with colored lights.
Blackness filled with colored lights. That's very non-specific, Teal'c.
Or very 2001. It's full of stars.
Whoa. Oh! I don't think it came out that far.
It's easier to poke your head in where it don't belong. Now that's a transfer rate.
Can you hear me?
His pulse is racing. Daniel, dial the gate.
You think his pulse is racing because of the transfer rate? Oh, optical download. He's looking very blank. So, David Worry Smith. Again?
Yep.
One of our regulars. I mean, he directed two episodes on this disc. And written by Robert C. Cooper, one of our main showrunners apart from Martin Wood.
And I say, very much a arc episode.
Well, we're setting up for actual, like, what are sometimes referred to as greys.
Yeah.
In science fiction. I'm sure it's on TV Tropes. It's like Bearded is Evil.
A little goatee and... Ooh.
Well, let's face it. I mean, if you can apply that trope to Stargate.
Are there any trusted goatees in the galaxy?
Yes.
Is it? Who?
No, I mean, that was my question. Even didn't Rush have a goatee?
Ah, for a while, yeah.
Start.
Yeah.
Establishes evil credentials.
Hmm. I say Janet wouldn't look right with a goatee.
Sorry?
The Doc wouldn't look right with a goatee. You can't have evil Doc.
I don't know. When she passes about 45, she might end up with a goatee whether she wants one or not.
You were catatonic for about an hour after that thing released your head.
Physically, I can't find anything wrong with you.
Well, okie dokie.
So he's already doodling.
Yep. He's doodling on the top secret report.
We're not sure.
Colonel O'Neill passed through a circle on the floor just before the device appeared. I was the first to look into it.
What did you see?
Lights. He saw lights. It's what he said he saw, lights. We done?
Not exactly. Why didn't the device react to Teal the same way as it did to you?
I don't know.
Perhaps because I am a Jaffa.
Welcome, Teal'c. You're two for two today. Yeah, seems a little impatient.
Yes.
Teal'c looked. I looked. It grabbed my head. I passed out. I came to. We're here. We're home. Can we go?
It's a wonderful little speech by Jack.
He's not a happy camper, is he?
Just fine. A little tired, maybe.
Colonel. Are you sure you're okay?
I am absolutely fine. There is nothing Kruvis with me.
He's just fine.
Yes, yes.
Ah.
A bit of a head turn from Daniel there. What did you say?
Cruvus.
You just said there's nothing Cruvus with you.
I did not.
Yes, you did.
No, I did.
Yes, you did.
Didn't.
Did.
Didn't.
Did. Cruvus, what is that?
Back and forth, back and forth.
It's Stargate, the Panto episode.
Why don't you take some time to relax, Colonel? You're dismissed. But do me a favor and stay on the base.
So whatever the device did, it's starting to show effects both in his subconscious, starting in his subconscious mind with the doodling and the language.
This is keep an eye on. Sorry, I've just read ahead to the next scene.
Keep an eye on him.
He looks a bit ridiculous with the head guard.
That's one hell of a corp there.
What is the reason for these padded gloves on you?
So we don't hurt each other. I'll be honest with you, Teal'c, so you don't hurt me.
If our purpose is to not cause each other harm, why then are we doing battle?
He has a high opinion of himself.
Yes.
Bright red.
No, it's the codpiece. I actually spot the headguard.
It's a bit Blackadder. Perhaps showing Teal'c some videos of the sport beforehand so he'd understand it.
Fine effort.
I do not understand, Odin. Are we preparing to dance or to do battle?
We do a waltz if you want.
Teal'c, if you don't move around, you're sitting duck. You're target. Oh! Huh? Like that.
Pretty weak jab.
You have a look like that. I'll just take your head off.
I'm sorry, are you alright?
I am fine.
Well, that's why you gotta move on.
How was that, O'Neill?
It's good.
How was that? Yes, quite.
Does my nose bleed?
You are fine.
Okay. Keep your hands up. Gotta keep your feet moving. And bend your kozars. Keep your kozars bent there.
I am unfamiliar with that word.
What? Kozars?
Yep, there we go again.
Kozars. Gotta bend your kozars.
I believe you are referring to your legs, O'Neill.
Oh, there's one thing about this scene that Teal'c only needed one mark. Hmm? The director, stay on your mark, Teal'c, and don't move for the next 2 minutes.
ODA dances around and throws punches at you.
Yeah.
All right. What the hell is going on with me?
That's one messy little work area.
Yeah, cluttered desk, cluttered mind.
That probably sums up Daniel's mind very well.
Well, apparently I have lost the philatus to speak properly. That wasn't a joke. I didn't do that on purpose.
No, Jack's not that clever to do that on purpose.
Several times now, Colonel O'Neill has used strange words in place of common terms.
Hmm. Okay. What was that word you just used?
I believe it was philatus.
It could have been falafel.
Hmm. Yes. He's torn the book and everything.
It's not as if you can just get another copy of them sort of books.
Possibly a derivation, maybe even a root.
Yes, it means he's done what you did in Abydos about 2 years ago. Oh, I probably said that a little ahead of time.
Faculatus is Latin for ability. You said you lost the philatus to speak properly.
Nu anion quietas.
Actually, it's upsetting Jack more than anybody else.
Yes.
Losing his mind.
Nu anion quietas. Hic quavi deum.
Jack, are you reading this?
I don't know. You tell me.
Well, I don't know. I haven't even been able to associate sounds to the symbols. Do you know what this means?
No. And I'm just looking at it, and the words pop right into my front. Does anybody think this is odd?
Anybody? Obvious question of the week, Jack.
Well, to be honest, by now, he should be under serious guard. The guy is obviously being influenced by another intelligence. Mm-hmm. He shouldn't be allowed to walk around the base.
Well, before we took him there, he just picked up a chalk and did this in about 30 seconds flat.
Yeah, I could do that in 30 seconds flat. And it, granted, it'd be gibberish.
Sam can't understand it.
It could be pure gibberish.
I mean, even the simple equations don't make any sense. No, this is like no math I've ever seen.
A normal human brain operates at about 5 to 10% of its functional capacity at any given time. Colonel O'Neill's brain is operating at over 90% capacity.
Interesting. The transcript actually mentions that it's a PET scan.
Is it?
I don't like PET scans. PET scans are bad.
Where's Colonel O'Neill?
Well, he should be in the infirmary.
He is not there.
So nobody had been watching him?
Apparently not.
We left him there. He just walked out.
Mm-hmm. Why wasn't he restrained?
Ooh, what's that? He's in the armory. Always the first place you look.
Colonel. What are you doing?
That's the power cell from...
Stuff weapon.
Yes.
We need this.
What for?
I hope it's not the only stuff weapon they've got, because if Tilk goes into battle and he's taking the battery out on it...
Well, I'm sure Teok might collect a few, you know?
Well, yeah, you think they'd know. They couldn't...
You think so, wouldn't they? After they've killed several hundred Jaffa, yeah. You think they might just gather up the weapons. You know, I'm sure there's somebody that's quartermastery types.
Jack was able to read the alien language. Both the inscription from the wall of the meeting place on Ernest Planet and the circle of symbols from 272 where this happened to him.
Daniel's really playing second fiddle, were you? Mm-hmm. I wonder if he probably don't like it very much either.
Yeah. Well, so is Sam. I mean, he's outpaced Daniel in the language. He's outpaced Sam in math that she can't understand.
Or it could be a piece of our leg, but the first seems to make more sense.
The point is, Colonel O'Neill is unwillingly speaking an alien language.
We know the Asgard opposed the Gould, so it's possible all the members of this four-race alliance felt the same.
Which might explain why the viewer locked out Teal'c.
What are you saying?
What if this device somehow downloaded an alien language into Jack's brain?
Your presence is required in the control room.
Jack's doing something.
Yep. Teal'c, you left him alone again.
Silly Teal'c.
Ah,
no, Jack,
left...
don't press the buttons.
What are you doing, Jack? Playing online poker again?
Captain Carter?
Main system's down, sir. I'm locked out.
Colonel?
Yes, sir?
What are you doing?
I don't know, sir. You know me and computers.
Colonel, I'm ordering you to stop.
I'd love to, sir, but I can't.
Stop him.
No! Not out here! I'm not firing it!
Sir, I think he wants to finish what he's doing.
I think he does as well, yeah.
Can't reboot, sir. Uh-oh.
Captain.
Sir, this is machine code. The numbers the colonel was entering must have been some sort of program. What did you do?
Oops.
Well, at least the lights didn't go off this time.
Yes. And at least the self-destruct didn't activate.
Yeah.
Interesting, he still has comprehension of English.
Yeah. Yeah, but as we've seen, Jack's a little ahead of the curve.
Indeed.
It's not possible. But it takes days to calculate the planetary shift of each new location.
Ah, brand new gates, not on the Abydos cartouche.
Interesting.
Which means that the Gwold probably don't know about any of these gates.
No, or they're protected planets.
Sir, the new stargates did not come from the Abydos cartouche data that we put in.
But that's the only reference we have, isn't it?
The colonel must have input new Stargate locations into the computer.
Well, I guess that thing must have put more than just a language into your brain. That circular inscription read the place of our legacy.
I'll say, Daniel, you've got it.
Yes.
What if that thing you looked into was some sort of alien database, like the one we found on Ernest's planet? All the knowledge that these particular aliens possessed.
Hammond's not impressed.
Colonel... You're not under arrest, but you're also not to touch anything else on this base without permission, understood?
Now go to your room.
Etium.
Etium, well, was that yes, sir? Of course, confirmed.
Well, you can only stare at a computer screen for so long. Colonel, that program you entered rewrote massive amounts of the machine code.
Jack seems to have completely lost the ability to speak anything but the alien language.
Really?
Yeah, so only say things that require yes or no answers. Whose skull do you think is that then, in the background?
Sorry?
The skull on the shelf, whose is it?
It's probably Plaster.
You think Daniel will have a fake skull? You think Daniel, with all his digging, has got a fake skull?
Oh, you mean the context of the show?
Yeah.
Sorry, I thought you meant whose actual skull. I mean, I know the props department, but they're good.
Yeah, if that turns up on the prop works auction. This skull belonged to the second director in the first season episodes. It really went over budget.
Well, this skull belonged to the person that wrote Need. Suggested it. I thought it was a good idea.
Well, that would certainly explain why Jack knew about Stargates that the Gould haven't even discovered yet.
I don't know, Daniel. I mean, why would they invent a device that would do this?
The place of our legacy, to pass on their knowledge. Jack may have knowledge of the original gate builders downloaded into his brain.
Ego indio navo locas.
Okay. Ego means I.
Indeo.
Need.
Navo.
New.
Locus.
Locus. Locus. Locus. Locatio. Location. You need a new location. You need a new location.
Where do you want to go? Okay. Good luck, you guys. I have to get back to the computer. Sir, I really wish you could explain this. Ten equals eight. Ten equals eight. Two equals eight. Ten equals eight. Sir, this is base eight math.
It is difficult communicating with somebody who can't talk in the same language, who can't even comprehend most of the stuff.
Ten equals eight. Yeah.
Obviously.
Mm-hmm. That was a kind of duh head shape from Jack.
Duh works in any language.
Since he lost the ability to speak gradually, I think whatever has affected him may be taking over incrementally.
Well, what's the worst case scenario?
His head explodes.
Boom.
Yeah, starts dribbling at his ears.
Colonel, your hard drive has been filled with information that is written in a language your computer doesn't understand.
No, normal Jack would go, hard drive? What's that? Simpler, please.
You know me and computers.
Your 8-track. Ah, right. How are you?
The computer could shut down altogether.
See, Daniel's hair is back to Carter Super Hold Loose Smooth. Probes.
Sir, we've been sending probes to the addresses Colonel O'Neill entered into the computer, hoping that one would lead us to the race that affected his mind. We think we may have found something.
P9Q281 has a pedestal near the gate with symbols on it that match the alien language that Jack is speaking.
Then I suggest we check it out.
Let's have a look at characters here. I haven't really been noticing. I've been focused on the transcript. This is actually quite an exposition-heavy episode. There's a lot of dialogue. No sort of long words or long... thoughtful pauses.
It's amazing how many important things Daniel can come up with.
Well, come up with seven important things before breakfast.
You see, I'm pretty sure that Jack is speaking the language of the original gate builders. At the very least, I'm positive that it's one of the races who created the repository of information on Ernest's planet, the meaning of life stuff.
Stuff. Daniel will save the day.
Colonel O'Neill wrote on the blackboard is a revolutionary formula for calculating the distance between planetary bodies.
And bottom line, sir, what about Jack? I mean, right now I'm possibly his only hope for communicating on any kind of serious level. I can't leave him like this. And I won't.
All right. The rest of you will leave at 1600 hours.
The rest of you. Sam and Tilk, off you go.
FT1.
With some random extras.
Yeah. And one of them is Castleman, which the General mentioned. He's not credited, though. The only extra credited is David Adams, who's described as expert.
Says Castleman in the transcript, and another soldier.
Okay. I think we're getting hung up on the grammar.
Jack's looking ticked off.
He is a bit into. He must have probably a killer headache. I love the screensaver though. Walk like an Egyptian.
And the song's certainly older than that.
Okay, you have to go through the Stargate. Where to? Back to the planet where this happened? You have to go back there?
Come.
Sir, SG-1 did not return the probe on schedule.
Let's open the gate and try to make contact.
Yes, sir.
Military laptop. We did speculate that was a laptop last week.
Yeah. There's nice Simmons.
Screen and stuff.
Simmons played by Tobias Mailer, a recurring role.
They're responding, sir, video and audio.
Surely there's a mouth still there. Yep, there is.
Something's gone wrong.
Do not send rescue team.
This is General Hammond. We copy, Captain. Where's Major Castleman?
He's looking for shelter, sir. We're in a little trouble here. We can't dial out. The DHT seized up when we tried to send the probe back. Temperature here is increasing rapidly, which probably is explained why we haven't found any indigenous life forms.
Ah, I see.
That may be why the gates were out of the system. Planetary body might be passing a little close to the sun.
This is like the reverse of the Star Trek episode where they were going to freeze to death as opposed to boiling to death.
You can't hear that, can you?
I can hear a beep every now and again.
Yes, somebody is attempting to communicate with me on MSN despite me being marked as busy.
Good luck. SGC out.
Building something.
That's a really jerry-rigged device.
Sorry?
That's a real jerry-rigged device.
Well, for Richard, yes, I'm surprised that MacGyver wasn't mentioned.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going back to... My God, it's driven me back to the 70s.
Just don't tell Jack. I think he's got enough on his mind.
Well,
this is the first introduction to these guys, isn't it?
Well, who is he?
He's one of the geek guys.
Yeah, but I don't think we ever see him again.
Not the guy on the left. The guy on the right, though.
That's Siler.
Yeah. We do see that guy on the left again.
Do we?
Yeah, I think in about 7 seasons.
Oh, that must be David Adams, the expert, then. Impressive. That's like the bloke from Armageddon. We dropped these little... Yeah, that's not really going to do much, Cop.
Oh, dear.
At times like this, you need a ship with faster-than-light capability.
Yes. I thought they had another cache, no? Well, no, they don't. They had a death glider, and death gliders don't do faster than light.
No. And it's still in bits at Area 51.
Mm.
They can't get the Wi-Fi card to work on it.
Don't. That's not funny.
Manual dial-in failed, sir. DHD is stuck mid-dial and seems to be locking the gate in place.
Are we recording this?
Yes, sir.
By my calculations, we could be facing a temperature of over 200 degrees Fahrenheit in less than 4 hours.
Captain, we're sending through a package of heat-resistant tents and portable air coolers.
General, I don't think you understand how hot it's gonna get. Nothing you send us will provide enough protection. We'll be dead before the end of the day, sir.
Oh, it's on.
I ain't got a clue what it is, but it's working.
I think he's finished.
What is it? That's it?
It's making a noise.
It's emitting a hum. This is a good thing. Hum or a bad hum? Is there such a... I think the only bad hums are the ones that build.
Yes.
Hums that gradually get louder, not good. Hums that just sort of hum. And they're just going to leave it there.
Yeah, Jack ain't got a clue what the hell it is yet. It'll come to him.
Ah, VHS. For some of our younger listeners, they may not actually recall VHS, depending on when you're actually listening to this.
They don't have much time.
If you've decided not to start listening to this until we finish season 10, you're definitely not old enough to remember VHS.
That's a very Lawrence of Arabia.
Do you happen to have a chunk of the theme? Well, you should have mentioned it.
Ah, Jack has a mission.
He's on a mission from God.
No, well, mom, we're musicians.
On the back of that.
It doesn't matter what it is. It could have been 2,000-year-old transcripts from a different planet, but Jack's going to write on them either way.
looks like fairly modern paper.
So this is basically
a way of reverse dialing.
Yeah.
Make a collect call.
What's he doing?
I don't know.
Do you think this is going to help?
I don't. I really don't know. Shut up and go away.
I say, at this stage, though, Jack is obviously able to tap into the knowledge.
Mm-hmm. I thought my collect call comment was funny. Where's his protractor? You can't do proper geometry without a protractor.
You've got to put faith in your subordinates, don't you?
The problem we're having is powering up the DHD and getting it to recharge its capacitors.
Removing the power source and reinstalling always rebooted the system in the tests.
We never simulated the mid-dial lockup.
We have to dial in right now.
What is it?
The Colonel has a solution.
It does?
Sorry?
You've really got to put faith in your subordinates at this stage. Yeah, have a look at that, guys. Yeah, that's the on-off button. It goes,
Here, you guys can work on this for a while.
What is it?
No idea. Well, actually, not no idea, just not much of one yet, but work on it.
And hope the paper didn't catch fire as soon as it landed.
How long
has passed? Because she said 4 hours.
The object has reached its destination, sir.
Now we have to hope those instructions were right.
I mean, it's a pretty abrupt cut from them up in the gate room, then into the actual...
She does look somewhat burnt, in fairness. That's nice, mate. You might want to scan that, take a couple of pictures of it, and make sure you've got it recorded.
Yeah, it could be important sometime later on.
Glad to have you back.
Thought our goose was quite literally cooked this time, sir. These plans were perfect. Who came up with them?
Oh, he's going to hug him. He's going to hug him.
Even Teok's looks slightly cooked. But I do. I think it's nice. It's subtle makeup on Sam.
Look at that. It's the two main SG-1 members that were still standing. They're the two guys, wimps.
I am sorry, O'Neill. We could not find a way to help you.
Mm-mm. He understands English. He's got a headache.
If you keep using it, though, you'll just run out of the power.
Feel better?
Much, thanks. Is this what you wanted to show me?
Yes. Jack built it, but no one seems to be able to figure out what it is.
Colonel, you have no idea what it is or why you built it.
Captain Carter, control room. Captain Carter, control room. Now what? It's been one of them days, hasn't it, Sam?
Yes.
We were preparing to send SG-11 to the next new Stargate address that Colonel O'Neill programmed into the computer.
The gate wouldn't dial out. Computer's frozen.
That doesn't make any sense. We just ran a full diagnostic. Stargate's trying to draw more power than usual from the system.
Bingo.
I'm guessing we should follow him.
Ah. Yes, I'm guessing we should follow him too, Daniel.
What are you going to say? What are you going to do? Just stand there anyway.
Jack, what are you doing? Oh, that's not a good idea.
Especially not with them real thick leather gloves people wear.
Yes.
Should we not attempt to stop him, Daniel Jackson?
Oh, wait a minute. Jack, what are you doing?
AUJ.
I think that means good. Jack, I really don't know if this is a good thing.
AUJ. AUJ.
I don't think he understands this anymore.
Don't worry.
What do you got the job leads?
He just picked him up on the way. Everything's impossible to this episode, isn't it?
Sorry, we didn't really say much there. This is, as you've said. Apologies, folks. I have one issue with this.
What?
We need Walter.
Yeah, he missed out on this.
Yeah, we...
What are you doing, Walter? Nothing general.
Where's Walter? We want Walter.
Yeah, Walter would know what to do.
Well, no. But I just want Walter to say symbol 8 locked.
Yeah. That's impossible. Just after it's done. No, it isn't. Stop saying that.
We've completely lost control, sir.
Let's go!
Chevron 5 is encoded.
The device that Jack built is some sort of energy source. He just hooked it up in the power vault.
Well, that explains where the gate's getting all the extra power.
I would not have authorized that, Dr. Jackson. Captain, how do we stop this?
You could have Siler pull the main breaker.
Chevron 6 is encoded.
Wait, Jack has been saying that this is a good thing. Now, so far, he's done nothing bad.
So far.
Chevron 7... is encoded?
And it's not the point of origin.
What?
General, what if all these anomalies that have been happening to Jack are part of some big plan?
What plan?
The house that Jack built, was that?
Yes, the energy thingy that Jack built, whatever.
You used to play that as a child, the house that Jack built?
Why is that ringing vague bells?
Nothing bad so far. And it's still
Seven's
going.
Encoded.
You could have Siler pull the main breaker.
Chevron 6 is encoded.
Wait, Jack has been saying that this is a good thing. Now, so far he's done nothing bad.
So far.
Chevron 7... is encoded?
And it's not the point of origin.
What?
General, what if all these anomalies that have been happening to Jack are part of some big plan?
What plan?
Jack goes home.
Yeah, not our plan. His plan.
Man's got a plan. And this plan appears to be coming together.
And it makes more sense than the Cylon's plan.
Mm-hmm.
Go on, say it. I dare you.
What?
That's impossible.
Now what? Colonel! I'm just supposed to let you go.
He's already gone, General. I don't think we have much of a choice.
Far out, Jack. Sorry, it had to be said. I need to flip onto my next kitten. I'm still on the marriage kitten.
Well, what do you know? The human race doesn't know everything.
I'm shocked. Jack's going to go now.
I will accompany you, O'Neill.
I really think he needs to do this alone, Teal.
He's got his bucket and spade with him.
That's almost poignant from Daniel, yeah. To a large extent, he is already gone.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Jack's gone bye-bye, and whoever's taken him over is in. Of course, you've got to pause before the gate.
Without knowing where he's going and why, that could put us in further jeopardy. I'm sorry, I can't authorize it.
Jack. You understand that if you do this, if you go, you might not be able to come back.
Gotta love that with Tilt. Once the guy decides he's over his loyalty, he'll be there for you, whatever.
Oh, that was Simmons, by the way.
Traveler is still en route.
You can always gate to the Alpha site.
You might not be able to gate to the Alpha site either. Jack's in serene mode.
Oh yeah, I was going to say, Jack's only got so much of a say in the matter.
We've lost the Traveler.
Superman's referred to as the Traveler in Smallville.
This is new.
Well, this is the full-fledged, well, not quite, but...
Yeah, I suppose the further travel does imply a degree of momentum, doesn't it?
Yes.
You know? You can't just casually shove aside physics. Of course, it's not that you can shove aside, it's just that we understand it a lot less than...
He was fortunate not to break anything when he fell down them steps.
Mm.
And hit these little guys.
Yeah, look at that, they're all lined up, but you use Jack as a sort of bowling ball.
Right down the corridor, and one little alien turns another. Did you see that? You've been drinking again?
Ego. Deserti. I saw a dog.
These obviously are Thor's people.
Come thou, Asoda.
Subtitles, bless them. Hmm. That's fortunate. He's got that sort of device built into his palm.
It's probably Loki.
Jack will wake up with little flowers growing out his head. And
computer won't accept the 8th chevron.
Hammond.
It's Sergeant Seiler, sir. The device that's hooked to the power grid seems to be dead.
Yeah.
It's a one-shot deal.
And Jack's got a headache.
Oh, it all comes back to him now. Now, of all the people you'd pick for this sort of... Well, it's not first contact, but it's pretty damn close. Jack is not probably the one.
Thank you.
You are welcome.
You understand me?
We speak many languages.
You're the Asgard, Thor's race, right?
You have heard of us.
Nothing but good things.
You looked into the archive that stores all the ancient's knowledge.
Apparently.
It was not meant for you.
Was it meant for, then?
What? This was all an accident?
Human physiology has not advanced to the point where your brain could handle that technology.
So, where am I?
This is the Asgard planet Othala in the galaxy of Ida.
Ah, so it was meant for humans, just not... What was it, our present state of development?
Yes. There's another science fiction trope.
The ancients moved on from our region of space long ago. But your subconscious mind used their knowledge to find us here, where you could get help.
Pretty good job that they didn't move house then, isn't it?
You go on to TVTropes.com?
No.
I was asked that the other day. I said, no, if I did, I wouldn't stop.
We did not think your brains had advanced even that far.
How is it you know so much about our brains?
A bit of a backhanded compliment, that is.
We didn't think you'd advanced even that far.
We still expected you'd be swinging from trees. I can say that even at this stage, the puppetry is still pretty good.
Hmm. Is it animatronics or is it CG?
Animatronics at this stage. They went CG for the late seasons.
Mm-hmm. Great potential. That's good.
Understand this. There was once an alliance of four great races in the galaxy. The Asgard. The Nox.
Met them.
The Furlings.
Don't know them.
And the Ancients, the builders of the Stargates.
It's a pretty heady group.
The Alliance was built over many millennia. Your race has much to prove before we may interact on that level.
So we'll be seeing the Asgard again?
Well, I think we might be, yeah.
These are just identified in the script as Asgard 1 and Asgard 2. They're not actually given names or anything.
Put it this way, of all the Asgard, you could have met the equivalent of Bill and Ted. Or Jay and Silent Bob, you know, just hanging round the corner, like. Kill him a neck, mate. Can you get back down on your knees? Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think you've added a few grey hairs there, Jack.
And I don't want to sound ungrateful because I really, really appreciate you getting all that stuff out of my head. But you folks should understand. That we're out there now. We might not be ready for a lot of this stuff, but we're doing the best we can. We are a very curious race.
Nicely done, Jack.
Yes, quite.
Yeah, basically we stick ourselves where we shouldn't do and we get into all sorts of trouble.
Yes. Can you guys come bail us out?
We went to Chimera and we screwed up, blew up your armour. How many of those people died because of us?
Is that goo in your... Is that natural secretion or have you been a bowl, Asgard? Is this hair gel?
You have already taken the first steps towards becoming the fifth race.
It's rather a tall ceiling for such a short people. And compare it to the Tok'ra tunnels, which are...
Well, they're trying to minimise the environmental impact, perhaps.
Apparently not.
That's not good.
Captain, I don't care what you have to do. I want to control this system back.
Yes, sir, I'm trying.
She fix it?
No, she didn't.
Still could take credit for it.
We have an incoming.
Of course, he hasn't got an IDC with him.
No, but they can't close the errors. They've got with that.
So basically, we'll just wait and hope it's Jack. We know it's Jack, but that may not be Jack.
Everything seems to be back online again, sir, including the iris.
Good work, Captain.
Well, if she did fix it, she fixed it about 5 seconds too late.
She didn't fix it. She's just taking credit for having fixed it when she didn't actually do anything. Jack looks slightly high.
He's happy with life.
Do you still possess the knowledge of the ancients? Nope. Don't remember a thing. But you know that meaning of life stuff? I think we're gonna be all right.
Possibly for the first time. Maybe when they pulled that knowledge, they also pulled out the fact that his son shot himself. Maybe he's temporarily forgotten that.
He's just full of wonderful feelings at the moment.
Like I said, he's high.
They gave me this funky herb to smoke, and brownies.
And greenies, and greys.
Yeah, nice guys, a little short, but nice guys.
I think they'd break easily. They look quite spindly, you know?
Yeah.
So that's one of your, not just of this season, of the entire series?
Fifth Race, yep. Somebody asked me what my favourite Stargate episode is. It'll be this, or Window of Opportunity. Don't know what the third one would be, but...
Is Window of Opportunity the time travel, time loop one?
Yep.
That's pretty much consistently everyone's favourite.
It is. I mean, Stargate is a humorous show, and that's one of the most humorous of the humorous shows.
I would, to be honest with you, I'd put one that's quite close to it is one with the barber in season 8, I think.
No, I never liked that episode.
No?
No.
Okay, well, to each their own. So that was The Fifth Race, my co-host's favourite episode, at least one of.
One of,
Feel free to leave your opinions on this. And it does set up some fairly major things. In the meantime, I'm going to check the email. We don't really have any major guest stars.
It's quite self-contained, really. I mean, even the sets are. Obviously, the same set was used for the Place of Our Legacy, that planet, and the Asgard's homeworld. Basically just a square box with a matte painting, and the rest is existing sets. I mean, we had two guest stars which were predominant, the expert, David Adams, which we assume is that guy with the glasses, and then Castleman, who wasn't even credited, but he was referred to.
He's in the transcripts, though.
He's mentioned by General Hammond, but he's not credited in the show.
Interesting.
Or IMDb or Stargate Wiki or any places like that.
I trust he wasn't in it again.
Probably not.
We don't know the actor's name.
Let's face it, you know, he went on one mission with SG-1 and he couldn't cut it, you know. He got through the gate, he just collapsed while Sam and Teal'c, they were still on the feet.
Right. I checked the web yesterday. There wasn't anything. I'm just checking the email now, not anticipating anything either. But hope springs eternal.
Well, we have got a couple more members to our Facebook page.
Well,
Phil Carson and Guy I work with. And Stephen Jones.
Is that our constant emailer? Relatively constant, well, twice.
Well, I don't have a copy of the email, so I don't know if his surname was given.
Why is this slow? I've shut down the BitTorrent client.
Cut that out.
Yes, it is Stephen Jones.
Yeah. Ah, right. Ormskirk, I believe.
Yes, Ormskirk.
Speaking of which, we have some email via our Facebook page from Stephen. Are we preparing to dance or do battle? A brilliant line in a brilliant scene. This episode is full of funny lines, and the more I watch the series in general, the funnier it gets. Another thing I love about this series is the music. A great example of this is at the end when Jack is with the Asgard. Overall, a great episode, and another important one for future seasons. We have already taken the first steps to becoming the fifth race, so let's keep going. Bring on the next 8.5 seasons. Speak to you soon, Stephen. Thanks for that, Stephen. I totally agree about the music, some very haunting and melodic music in this episode.
We also have a previous email from Wesley Clifford. A closing thing was when the IOA shut the Stargate program down, he was surprised that Hammond didn't just blow up the mountain. But that was sent back on December 11th as we were finishing off season two. At the rate we're going, we should get season one, certainly season two, recorded before June.
Well, there's not many more left, is there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's 6 left.
Mm-hmm. But again, as I said, I won't be recording next Thursday, which is the only reason I'm recording today. I won't be here the Thursday after that, and I won't be here the entire week pretty much after that.
Yeah.
If you want to come back to us, gatecast@phasecast.com. You can also get us on the main site, which is gatecast.phasecast.com. There is a contact us form, and you can become a fan. Please, by all means, become a fan of our Stargate page on Facebook. Just look for Gatecast on Facebook and we'll pop up. More fans. We can get 100 fans by December.
It's entirely possible. We must know at least 100 people between us, if nothing else.
I was trying to persuade someone to sort of listen to the podcast, and apparently his partner is big time into Stargate.
Yeah.
But he said every time that he seemed to think, you know, the alert noise.
Yeah.
Siren. And he'd hear the siren and think, oh God, he's watching that show again. So, not a big hit with the chap I was talking to on Saturday. But I will badger additional friends through my Discworld contacts and see if I can get them to become fans.
Next on Stargate SG-1.
Cover up!
A fallen enemy.
Help me.
Is that who I think it is?
A prisoner of war.
Let me know when he dies.
You will die with me.
Should have shot him.
A hunted warlord.
He has come here seeking refuge.
Well, that's tough.
You have taken what is mine. For this, you will be destroyed.
And a fatal liability.
He's a prisoner of war. That gives him certain rights.
Rights?
If he remains here, you will all die.
He's going down. He must take us with him.
On the next Stargate SG-1.
On that note, folks. Sorry?
I'm just saying, good hair, evil hair on TV tropes.
Good hair and evil hair.
If there are any good or bad goatees in television, they've actually got a page covering it.
Goatees are bad. Goatees are evil, bottom line.
Or just basically facial hair in general. Fu Manchu.
Klingons accepted, presumably.
Ming the Merciless.
Going back. I suppose Ming the Merciless, yeah. I mean, but I honestly thought it was the Ereba came, but that was a movie, you see. From a TV trope perspective, I would suppose that first Looking Glass episode in the original Star Trek series, because you had Spock with a beard.
Like I say, it was the simplest way to set them apart from costuming, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. I'm assuming the beard was fake unless they shot it over a very long time. I like the way DS9 handled it, the whole collapse of the Empire, because of what... Did TNG do a Looking Glass episode?
No, I don't think they did.
Because DS9 did like 4 of them.
Yeah, they really loved it.
As DS9 episodes go, it's actually some of the better ones. Because it's not ripping off B5.
Ooh.
JMS has said as much.
Well, it's uncanny into how many times you get two projects that are very, very similar coming out at the same time, be it TV or movies. Mm-hmm. It's because projects are pimped around all the studios and one studio passes on it but think, you know, it's actually a pretty good idea and they do it themselves. Mystery Science Theatre 3000 did a Evil Universe one where Crow gets transported, you know, meets up Evil Mike, and Evil Mike's got a goatee. And of course, many incarnations of the Master had a goatee, didn't he?
Oh, yes. John Sim didn't. That was never very clear in The End of Time whether the Master is actually killed.
You can't kill a Time Lord like that. You can't technically kill a Time Lord like that at all. You always want to be able to bring him back.
But I mean, like, they didn't even apparently kill him the way they apparently killed him at the end of that Love Restored Me thing. I'm looking forward to the season finale because, frankly, a Stephen Moffat season finale should be interesting.
Yeah, it should indeed. Yeah.
Right, mate, I'm going to go downstairs and eat something, and I just realised from the way the temperature skyrocketed in this room that I put the heat on timer last night because it was freezing, and it's come back on.
Okay, cookie.
Farewell, folk.
Goodbye, everybody.
You've been listening to Gatecast, presented by Alan, Mike and Scott. Visitors at gatecast.facecast.com.